Father, in the name of Jesus, always we know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We want to enter that word and we'll have that word enter our lives even today and bring change. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, you know, today's lesson, the power to create change. That's right. Is in God's word. The power to create change. Well, there's so many situations that we may face that's not going according to, you know, what we would like or not in accordance with our well-being or our welfare. You know, but we've got to look to his word and use his word no matter what. So the power to create change is in God's word. Let's start at that very, you know, statement that Jesus made. You know, that all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. But before we get there, let's first of all establish one thing. The first thing we want to establish is that indeed all power belongs to the Lord. You know, that's all power. That's not some power over here belongs to the Lord and then some power over there belongs to the devil. Well, at one time maybe, but the Bible says that Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. He stripped them, you know, of their powers. He made an open show. Hallelujah. And he gave us victory. Colossians 2 and 15. Not only did he do that, he also blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. You know, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. And he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So Jesus already triumphed over principalities and powers, Colossians 2, 14 and 15. And he did it publicly, openly. He didn't hide it in the corner. Glory to God. So we have the power. Psalm 62 and verse 11. You know, Psalm 62. First, we want to establish that all power belongs to God. And then we'll see what next after that. So let's read together Psalm 62, you know, and verse 11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, a power belongeth unto God. Hallelujah. I also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, and thou will render to every man according to his work. All power belongs to the Lord. First Chronicles chapter 29. Powerful prayer, and I love this prayer, the way, you know, that David put it out there. He said before the congregation, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. And you can add any superlatives, how great he is, the greatest of all and the mightiest of all, higher than the highest. You can add it all to him. He deserves it all. All that is in the heaven, now that's all. Whether they be principalities or powers, even in heavenly places, you know, all that is in the heaven and in the earth is his. Thine is thy kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, O Lord. And I can say, you know, thou reignest over all. Do you know it? And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great. In thy hand it is to heal. In thy hand it is to deliver. In thy hand it is to save. In thy hand it is to protect. In thy hand it is to provide. And on. And to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, O our God, we thank you and praise thy glorious name. So we establish, first of all power belongs to God. Glory to God. And also, you know, clear on to the book of Revelation, the same thing, you know, is still being established. Praise ye the Lord. Revelation chapter 7, let's pick it up at verse 12. You know, this is what the, there's a great multitude of people which no man could enter, a number of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and four beasts, and they fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And they said again, amen. So we establish that indeed all power belongs to God. Again, in the book of Revelation chapter 4. And let's see how these other group of people and beings, how did they do it? Well, it says, and when those, verse 9, when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we've established that all power belongs to God. And next, let's establish this also in the days of Christ's earthly ministry. He also declared, you know, after he did all that he did, went to the cross and rose again from the dead, he declared in Matthew 28 and verse 20, and he said, all power, that's right, all power, starting from verse 18, is given unto me in heaven and on earth. All power, he said, is given unto me. Hallelujah. Now, we see that all power belongs to God. Jesus himself declared that all power is given unto him. You might recall that at one time, the devil in the wilderness with Christ bragged about having power over the nations. And he said to Jesus, look, all these things will I give unto you, because the power thereof is delivered unto me. Well, that was then. But after Jesus went to the cross and died and went down and whooped the devil and got the keys of hell and death, made an open show of all principalities and powers, he came out of that grave and he declared, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, he took it from the devil too and got it back to where he belongs. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, we see how that the Lord anointed the Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, we're told, who went about doing good because God was with him. Hallelujah. And he did all kinds of good, cast out devils, healed the sick, raised the dead. All these things were his. There was nobody else found in heaven and on earth, according to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. John wept much because there was no one found to open the book. Nobody. But at last, there was a shadowy figure. He was called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And when John looked, he saw a bloody lamb. Huh, that's right. That's how Christ got the victory. And when Christ had taken the book, well, everything in heaven, my goodness. When he had taken the book, we are told in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of prayers. I mean, odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song and said, thou art worthy to take the book. Glory to God. Now, nobody else was found worthy. They told him he is worthy. Hallelujah. And they said again in verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and underneath the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard them saying the same thing, blessing and honor and glory and power belong unto him that sat upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever. You know, so we're establishing where the real power is at. Make no mistake about it. Once I've heard it, twice it's been spoken. The psalmist said that all power belongs to God. And Jesus declared the same thing. Then he turned around. See, this is the procession of things. First, all power belongs to God. Then the devil, you know, he stole what God gave to Adam and Eve. And then, of course, Jesus got it back. And Jesus came out and declare, all power belongs to me. Then he turned around and gave us the same power. Isn't that wonderful? In the book of Luke chapter 10, you know, and verses 18 and 19, Jesus said, look, I saw the devil fall as lightning from heaven. I mean, lightning, that's 186,000 miles per second. That's how fast lightning travels. It's at the speed of light. That's how fast the devil gets away from the real power of God. And behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. I'm overemphasizing the power to create change today. And he said again, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Jesus acknowledges that the enemy has power, but your own power is higher. Glory to God. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we want to bring this to the forefront today. Now, also in the book of John chapter 17 and verse 18, while Christ was praying this incredible prayer, he said, as thou, Father, hast sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them into the world. Well, how did God send him? Well, we read that already in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Christ with power and the Holy Ghost. That's right. And Jesus said, as the Father sent me, even so have I sent you. The same power that the Father anointed me with, I have conferred upon you as well. Ha! Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That the Lord will confer the same thing upon us that the Father conferred to him. He prayed this in his prayer in John 17 and verse 18. And not only that, he literally declared it to his disciples in the same book of John, chapter 20 and verse 21. You know, in one place he was praying it, in another place he was saying it. He said, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Hallelujah. So, you know, we see the procession. Power belongs to God. It was conferred on Jesus, and he conferred it unto us. Well, where is that power? You know, that power is in his word. You know, that power is in his word. Glory to God. Let's take a look at some scriptures, you know, that bear this out for us. You know, first, we go back to the beginning. How did God do the things that he did in the beginning? Hallelujah. How did he do it? Well, the way he did it was he said, let there be. And it was his word that he used. Hallelujah. He used his word throughout the book of Genesis, chapter 1. We see how he did it. He used the word, his word, to bring change. Hallelujah. When God saw that the earth was without form and void, and that darkness was upon the face of the deep, the Spirit of God began to move on the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. So the power to change and bring light out of darkness was in his word. It was right there in his word. Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Well, what about Genesis chapter 1, verse 6? And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And so it was, as he said it. What about verse 9? You know, and again, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. I mean, every time he did these things, he used his word. Then in verse 11, and let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Whatever the Lord said with his word, it was so. What about verse 14? Well, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Hallelujah. On and on. I mean, what about verse 20? You know, as he said, you know, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open heavens. You know, and great whales, all these things were created by his word. He also said, after he created them, he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, That was his word again that he spoke. And let the fowl multiply upon the earth. Then in verse 24, he said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. The creeping thing, the beast of the field, and so on and so forth. You know, and finally, after all of that, he said in verse 26, let us make man. Glory to God. And so he made man in his own image. Wow. After God called forth all those things by his word, he declared also by his word his intention for the man. And let them have dominion. That's right. That's what he had in mind. Let there be. He used his word. And from time to time, we need to learn. That's right. Learn how to use the word of God to create change for our situations. Let's read Psalm 33. We read verses 6 and 9. Here's what the Lord said. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Psalm 33 and verse 6. And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Glory to God. For he spake in verse 9 and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He did all of that by his word. That's right. The word of his mouth. The power to create change, the power to bring things, you know, that appear out of nothing, he did it by his word. And God was showing us all these things. Jesus, you know, he showed his disciples too. And let's see some more lesson about another lesson or, you know, an account of the creation. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, we see the account of the creation there as well. Here's what it says, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, we're told that by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So it was the word of God. Again, you know, so that things which are seen came out of things which were not even there. Hallelujah. They were not made of things that were present. They were made of things that were not present. God used his word to call things out of nothing by the word of God. We read that also in John chapter 1. It said, the beginning was the word, you know. Hallelujah. That word was so important that John had to write it that way, you know, for us to understand it and to know how to use the word of God. In the beginning, he said. The way he wrote it was actually a bit different. Now, here's one way that John could have written this in John chapter 1, verse 1. He could have written it like this. In the beginning was God. He could have written it like that. And, you know, the word of God was with God. He didn't write it like that. In fact, his emphasis was on the word. He said, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And that word was the very God. Hallelujah. So his emphasis was on the word. The same word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by the word, you know, and without him was not anything made that was made. This same God word had life in himself, and that light was the light of man, you know, and so on and so forth. And he told us again that, you know, even though his people he came to initially rejected him, you know, for those that received him, he gave them power to become sons of God in verse 12. Then he goes on in verse 14 and to say, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John's emphasis was on the word. Jesus also taught us the same thing, how to use the word of God, which is in our mouth. He taught us the same thing. The story, in famous story in Mark 11:23, this is what Jesus was teaching us, how to create change by the word of God that's in our mouth. That's how you create change. Mark 11:23. Jesus said, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, now that's the word that comes out of your mouth, not exactly pray now, but whosoever shall say unto this mountain, I was looking at some mountain right there, you know, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt it in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith with his mouth shall come to pass, then he shall have whatsoever he saith with his mouth, you know, and that saying is the word of God. The power to create change, the power to move mountains, the power to heal, all of these things is in the word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, Psalm 68:11 will also tell you how powerful this word is. This is the way it walks in the heavens, and this is the way it walks upon the earth as well. In Psalm 68:11, we are told that when God gives the word in the heavens, well, great are the company that will publish it. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. Well, he speaks or releases an unction in the heavens, and things go into operation, even upon the earth. God asked Job, do you understand the ordinances of heaven? In Job 38:33. Knowest thou, God asked him, the ordinances of heaven? Do you know it? Well, can you set their dominion thereof upon the earth? You know, so we see that the ordinances of heaven have dominion over the earth. And the key element in the ordinances of heaven is the word. This center of attention is around the word. For by him the word were all things made, and by him the word do all things consist. According to the book of Colossians 1, the word of God is everything. Praise the Lord. He says here, you know, we give thanks unto the Father who has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us, verse 13 of Colossians 1, from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now that Son is the Word, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. If you are looking for who is the image of God, who God was talking to, in Genesis 1:26, when he said, let us make man in our image, he's talking to the Christ. Because Christ is the image of the invisible God. You know, now, he's the firstborn of every creature. Remember, Christ was before the world began. Even the Lamb was slain before the world began. And God ordained that even we, the sons of God, will become like the Christ. He ordained that even before the world began, according to Romans 8:29. Now, this word, who is the image of the invisible God, in other words, you want to know how God is and how he functions, you look at the word. It's the firstborn of every creature. What in the world does that mean? Well, the word was spoken first before any creature came after. So the Word was the beginning of the, that's why Jesus said, I am the beginning of the creation of God. It's not that he was created, but his word that was spoken first was what brought the creation about. Now, for by him were all things created, whether in heaven, whether in the earth, whether visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, all principalities, all powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, this is the word of God. That's how powerful it is. So when we get a hold of the word too, just like Psalm 68, I want you to plug two scriptures into each other. Take Psalm 68 verse 11. And plug it into Psalm 103 verse 20, and you'll get an explosion, a powerful revelation, which I have talked about time and time and time again in this room, or in these rooms. Psalm 68 verse 11 tells us how God speaks the word, and great are the company that publishes it. Well, Psalm 103 verse 20 says just exactly the same thing, but in a different way. And this time around, he says, you know, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments based upon, that's hearkening to the voice of his word. Now, it is the voice of his words that send those angels into action, the power to create, to move things, even in the heavens, is in the word of God. And if we know how to use it just right, you will get the angels moving. Praise God. That's what they respond to. They respond to the word of God. Don't respond to anything else. We cannot command angels. You know, I've heard some people, you know, try to command angels, and so you can't do it. God is the one that gives angels charge. They don't work for you. They work for him. On your behalf. That's right. They have sent ministers sent for to minister on your behalf, but they take their charge from the Lord. You try to command an angel, he'll tell you, look, I've got my orders. You can't do it. Praise the Lord. I mean, we see, you know, I mean, this man, Joshua, he was a man of war. I mean, he didn't mess around at all, you know, and, if you show up with a sword in your hand, then, you know, the Lord, I mean, Joshua assumes that you want to engage. So he'll say, you know, in Joshua chapter 5, you can read that story. He saw someone that had a sword in his hand. And he approached the guy because he thought, well, you have a sword. Well, you come to fight. You know, well, let me know right now your intentions. Who are you here to fight for? Are you for us or are you for our enemies? I want you to listen to this very carefully. The question that Joshua as this figure that he saw, and the way that this figure answered, you know, so let's read it. And it came to pass, Joshua 5 and verse 13, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man stood over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. So Joshua went to him and said, look, you have a sword in your hand. That means you're ready to fight. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? You know, but the answer of this figure that had the sword in his hand was no. That's no to both things. You know, are you for us? No. Are you for your adversaries? No. You know, but as the captain of the Lord's host, am I come? I've got my orders. It's not about you. It's not about your adversaries. It's about what the Lord sent me to do. Glory to God. You know, so that's a lesson for all of us to understand. You know, sometimes we say things like, well, you know, I mean, angel of the Lord is on our side. The Lord is on our side. And so, yeah, in speaking, and you know, in a way of speaking, we say that. But really, angels of the Lord, they have their orders. They take their orders from the Lord. This man, he said, look, I'm come as the captain of the Lord's hosts. I have my orders. And it's not for you to tell me what to do. It's not for you to tell me to fight on your behalf or fight against your enemies. I already have my orders. Praise God. Yeah, so that's how you do it, though, with the word of God. Don't worry about, you know, you're trying to instruct the angels directly. You can't do it. But when you use the word of God, according to Psalm 103 verse 20, the power to create change, the power to move things, the power to even move the angels is in his word. All you got to do is speak his word. What God already said, you echo it, you repeat it exactly like God said it. You know, you give voice to it. The angels will hear it and they move into action. It's not your word. It's his word. It's God's word. That's the only thing they're trained to recognize. Praise God. You know, and the power to create change is in that word. If you know how to use it just right, you know, God will always bring the victory our way. So let's review what we have said today. First, we know that all power belongs to God. Secondly, we know that God gave Adam dominion over all things. But they lost that dominion through disobedience. And the devil came in there and stole everything. And he had the audacity to approach Christ, you know, and said, look, all these things will I give unto you. And then more, because all of this is delivered into my hands. Well, who delivered? You know, he stole everything. So you suffer. Well, delivered through the disobedience, that is, because the scripture says, whomsoever you obey or submit yourselves to obey, they are servants you are whom you obey. If you obey the devil, then you are the servant of the devil. The devil gives you suggestion and you obey it, then you become the servant of the devil. You know, and if you obey the Lord, then you are the servant of the Lord. You know, so, you know, because they obeyed the suggestion of the devil, they became the servants of the devil. And the devil would tell the Christ that, look, I got all these things. And all you got to do to get them back is to fall down and worship me. Because we know that Christ is not going to do that, you know. So he said, look, I will give you all these things. You got to just, you know, worship me and you'll have it all. You know, look at the devil making this claim. Luke chapter 4, you know, verse 5. The devil, taking Christ into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That was a vision. Gave the Lord a vision. Showed him everything in a moment of time. And, you know, he said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. And the Lord didn't argue with him. Jesus knew the devil had a point. He didn't argue with him, but Jesus had a plan of how he's going to pay the ransom. Glory to God. And how to get all that back. You know, so everything that God had, I gave to Adam, the devil stole, because he was able to trick Adam to obey him. And if you obey somebody, you become their servant. That's what the scripture says. So, but the Lord, he had a plan. And after he paid the ransom, it's like kidnappers. They kidnap, you know, and looking for ransom and stuff. You know, Jesus paid the ransom with his own blood. The righteous for the guilty. And when he did, the enemy had no more say. You know, the court of heaven, you know, saw it. The ransom was paid in full. And so Jesus said, now that power belongs to me. That's right. So that was the progression. First, God to Adam, then to the devil, because of disobedience, then back to the Lord, who claimed everything back, and then he gave it back to his disciples. All power in heaven and on earth is given to me. And he turned around and gave the same thing back to us. And it's all in his word. He showed us also how to do it. And he said, look, use this word of God. When you use it and you do not doubt it, it will come to pass. Hallelujah. So I want that to sink into us today, because that is the power. I mean, that's where the power lies. The power, you know, to change things, to change situations, the power to create change is in the word of God. Adam lost this power, like I said in the beginning, because, you know, of disobedience, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. He said, don't you know that whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of disobedience unto righteousness. So when they obeyed the suggestion of the devil, they became the servant of the devil. So everything they had transferred over to the devil. That's the law of heaven. That's how it works. And then what Jesus, he paid the ransom. He got it back. Now, into our hands today, the Lord has given the scepter. And he has put upon us the mantle. And it is in our mouth. You know, that's what he says in Romans chapter 10. The word is in your mouth. The word of faith. You declare it. It's right there in your mouth. It says, what does the scripture say? Well, the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. Romans 10 and verse 8. And you speak that word, it can create and bring change to pass. Well, we're going to do a little exercise about that right here, right now. Put the word of God into practice. You've heard the scriptures. There's nothing here that I said today that you've not heard before or knew under the sun. Just to bring it to your remembrance that the situation that you may be confronted with, the power to change that situation is in the word of God. That's today's lesson. A power to change that situation. It may be sickness. It may be an illness. It may even be a severe illness. It may even be a severe diagnosis. It may be anything. But the power to change that situation is in the word of God. And that word is in your mouth. That's right. And when you speak that word, you know, and do not doubt it in your heart, but you believe that those things that you said will come to pass, that situation will change into your favor. That's right. God's way is in the whirlwind. The world is at his steps. The word, the power to change God's word is in his word, and that word is in your mouth. I mean, that's so powerful if we can just grab that. So let's try. Let's practice this today. Right now, we're going to make some declarations with your own mouth. And this is beyond someone praying for you. I mean, when we pray for others, that's good too. If we use the word of God and we declare things over them, because we can use the word of God to change things in people's lives. We do it right. Doesn't have to be your own life only. can be somebody else's life, can even be conditions around, can even be situational things. The word of God can change them all. But even us as individuals, when there is nobody else to pray for you or pray with you, you can use the word of God yourself to bring change to the situation that you are facing. Because the power to create change is in the word of God. When everything was void and full of chaos, and there was darkness over the face of the earth, the Spirit of God didn't like it. But how did God do it? How did God bring order out of that chaos? How did he bring light out of that darkness? How did he do it? By his word. Let there be such and such. Well, so today we're going to do the same thing. We're going to take a cue from the Lord and practice just the way he did it. You know, he said, look, Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, he said, look, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So that means discipleship is training to be like the master. That's what it is all about. And perfection comes from the right kind of discipleship that leads us to be like the master. So while we are in training, we are trying to be like the master. You can't be greater than the master. That's not possible. But we're trying to be like the master. And when we get there, we will be just like him. For as he is in this world, so are we. That's right. That means the way he did things, that's the way we would do things. Well, he used his word, you know, hallelujah. And then we will also use the word of God. So let's practice in Jesus' name. I want you to get ready. Put on the mantle of prayer. Hallelujah. And this thing, you know, the word of God is so powerful. You know, be conscious that, you know, the priest, they had to put on the ephod. They had to put on the Urim and the Thummim. They had to put it on, put that breastplate on. You know, that's what we're told. Say, put on the breastplate, you know, put it on. You're conscious that you have it. Praise God. And when you put on, when the priest, then they put on that ephod, when they put on that, the breastplate that had the Urim and the Thummim, you know, they got it, you know. So you put it on. Hallelujah. Put on Christ. So right now, we're going to put on the mantle of prophetic declaration. We got it. It's in the word of God. The power to change situation. Now, sickness and disease and other situations that we face. Here's the way the Bible puts it in Philippians chapter 2. We are told that God has highly exalted the name of Jesus because of his obedience, verses 5 through 9. And now God has given him a name that is above every name. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him, verse 9, and given him a name that is above every name. That's right. That at the name of Jesus, it may be cancer, it may be leukemia, it may be diabetes, it may be high blood pressure, it may be COVID even, it may be anything. If it has a name, then the name of Jesus is higher, and everything does have a name. You know, so the name of Jesus is higher, and the power to make the change, the power to bring everything, you know, to bow down to Christ, power to bring things to kneel before the Lord is in his word. Hallelujah. You tell that COVID, you tell that cancer, you tell that whatever it is to kneel. That's right. Before the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Because at his name, every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess. Glory to God. All power belongs to Christ. And that he is Lord too. He's Lord of everything. So let's do it. Hallelujah. Will you declare with me today. Whatever your situation that you are facing, will you declare with me the word of God? Now, there could be other situations that are void. That's right. It's not just sickness. Some situations are void. Some situations are chaotic. It's the word of God that restores order, that creates change. It was the word of God when the earth was void and without form and chaos was everywhere. God didn't like it. It was the word that he spoke. Let such and such be. Glory to God. Now, it is also the word of God that we use to cast out devils. You know, it's not, we don't cast out devils by exorcism. That's never going to work. We use the word of God. We call, tell him to get out of there, tell him where to go, and tell him how not to come back. We do those three things. That's part of how you cast out the devils. You know, the devil tries to engage you, you tell him to keep quiet. Hold your peace. Come out of there. Go into the swine and don't come back. Glory to God. Take authority. Every situation that is void in our lives, where there has been stagnation and no progress, it is the word of God that has the power to bring and create change. Glory to God. So I want to engage the believers that are in the house here today. Now, this is for believers. If you are a believer, you've got this power. Glory to God, because Jesus gave you the power. He said, behold, I give unto you power. He wasn't talking to just the Jews. He was talking to his disciples. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, all the devils, demonic forces. I give you power over them. And I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And the enemy has power over sickness, has power over death, has power over all these things, you know, and make people afraid. Some people are subject to the fear of death, and put them in bondage all their life. But the Bible says that Jesus destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. He destroyed him all already. Praise God. And he took the keys of hell and death away from him. Praise the Lord. Now, let's pray. Let's declare with the word of God the change that we would like to see. Praise God. What change would you like to see? When you see an area that's chaotic and void and not producing in your life, speak to it intentionally and in an effectual and determined manner. And continue to speak to that situation by the word of God. You find the word of God that addresses that situation and you speak it to that situation. Glory to God. And it will bring change. Hallelujah. For instance, sickness and disease. Well, you find the word of God that says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You find the word of God that says, that's Exodus 15:26. You find the word of God in Malachi 4:2 that says, unto them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. You find those scriptures. Praise God. And you use those scriptures. You find 1 Peter 2:24 that says, by his stripes we're already healed. And then you begin to speak that to the situation. Well, what about things that were not fruitful in our lives? There is void, there is stagnation. Well, you find the word of God that says that you will have dominion. That's right. God giving you dominion. Glory to God. You find the word of God that says, you know, he will open unto you his good treasure. You find that in Deuteronomy 28. He said, the Lord will open unto you his good treasure. You know, you command the, you know, his good treasure for you. You will be blessed in going out. You'll be blessed in coming in. You find those scriptures. And you begin to release them into the situation at hand. Deuteronomy 28:12 said, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. You know, the rain to give, heaven to give you rain, all these things. So you say, well, let the heavens open. Hallelujah. And let the good treasure of the Lord come my way. And let the work of my hands be blessed, that I may be a lender and not a borrower. You begin to declare it to yourself. Praise the Lord. You say, you know, you find, you know, you say you're a bit backwards and so forth. You say, well, you know, you find the word of God that says in Deuteronomy 28 and 13 that the Lord shall make me the head and not the tail. You begin to speak to your soul. The Lord says you will be the head. Therefore, rise up and bless the Lord and be the head already. Huh. Glory to God. You begin to use the word of God in every situation. Now, enemies may come up against you. Then you use the word of God that says, look, your enemies will come up against you one way, but they shall flee seven ways. You use the word of God, you know, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Isaiah 54 and 17 and all these things. You begin to declare the word of God into the situation. Now, we all know these things. We just need to be more intentional in doing them. When they, no matter the situation, that is your response, is to use the word of God to create the change that you would like to see. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because the word of God is forever settled in heaven. And let it be settled in your heart as well. And this word is also in our mouth. This book of the law, he said, shall not depart out of your mouth. So it is in your mouth. So Lord, we thank you. We are empowered, we are energized, we are encouraged today to use the word of God to bring change to our situations. Hallelujah. Now, I want to call out some things here today. You know, we started out this year, even before we went into this year, you know, I was sharing the things that must not go with us into the new year. That's a reason for it. Because these things will creep up their ugly heads during the new year. And you're going to have to use the word of God to say, no, you know, I left you in that former year. You're not coming with me to this year. You know, all those things that we talked about, you know, so, but the devil will raise his head. You know, I told people then, I said, well, it's because you're going to have to face these situations and use the word of God to pummel his head. When he raises his head, you're going to have to use the word of God. There is no such thing, you know, that we will just coast along and there will be no challenge from the devil. There's no such thing. The devil is always going to challenge your peace, going to challenge your health, going to challenge your tranquility. Everything, but you use the word of God. So let me first come again. You know, sickness is the thing. Number one thing, you know, that puts us down. You know, a little fever, a little thing can just disable you completely. And then you can't do anything. You know, a little cold even can just disable somebody for days. And these days I hear that people can't, there's some cold that come upon people. They can't shake it. It lasts for weeks. You know. And it can just disable them. It can't function properly. First from a little cold. But I'm going to put up with that stuff. You know. And, you know, I myself, I had to fight that battle. Coming into the year from last year, spending many days in prayer and fasting. You know, and then the devil attacking my boys, my this, my that, cold and so forth. But I wasn't going to put up with it. Praise God. He's like, look, you know. I've often said, when you are believing God for something good and the opposite happens, then what do? Well, you stay upon your God. You trust in the Lord and stay upon your God. I covered that the other day. And you use the word of God. If I prayed about something that this thing should not happen, this negative thing I don't like should not happen, and then it happens, well, I'm going to keep on praying and the end result will be as if it never happened. That's right. When Jesus said this sickness is not unto death, and then the man died, well, the end result will be like the man never died, because Jesus said he's not unto death. He's coming out of that grave. Praise God. You know, so if I'm believing God that I am healed, I'm not going to have sickness in 2024, and then all of a sudden, boom, sickness attacks, well, I'm going to stay right there with the word of God and use the word to attack that sickness. Go right back against it. Hallelujah. Take that, Satan, give it back to him. And the end result must be that you must be healed. Hallelujah. That's right. I am the Lord that healeth you. You know, bless the Lord who healeth all my diseases. Glory to God. So, Father, I come against sicknesses, diseases, cancers, you know, tumors, you know, cancers of the blood, cancers of the whatever bone, cancers of anything. I come against diabetes. I come against even COVID. You know, people have become so afraid of COVID since 2020, you know, and it's just COVID. It has a name. And because it has a name, the name of Jesus is higher. I come against COVID. I speak the power of the word of God to create change for everyone that's facing these things. Let the sicknesses and the spirit of infirmity that is in your body, let them depart and go into the swine, go into dry places, but let them not come back, not to you, not to your loved ones, and not to the children of God. They're free to go into the swine and go and perish in the sea. That's fine, but not in you, not in your children, not in your loved ones, and not in your house. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. And so that's how we use the word of God, and we stand our ground, and we do not give an inch. Glory to God. This is a battle. The devil is trying to advance upon your territory, and you're not going to let him do it. You're going to use the word of God to create that change that you would like to see. Praise God, hallelujah. Now, what about other changes that you would like to see in your life? Advancement, for instance. Did not the Lord say last year that we will advance and emerge? Has not the Lord said this year that he's going to bring a sudden increase, a quantum leap for us? Well, these things are there. Now, we must use the word of God to speak to situations that are apparently opposed to our advancement and our increase. Any situation that is opposed to that, whereas the Lord has said this is the way it will be for you, and the devil said no, it will not be that way. You know, I put burdens upon you. I put all these things upon you so that you will not have time to advance or worship the Lord or get ahead in life. Well, we use the word of God. I come against heavy burdens in the name of Jesus. I come against the tactics of failure. I say, let there be more burdens laid in upon them so that they will not have time, because they are idle and they have time on their hands. Let them have more bills. Let them have more problems. Let them have sickness to deal with. No, we reject those things in the name of the Lord. We use the word of God to create change for our situation. Positive change, thriving change for us in the name of Jesus. The goodness of the Lord. We speak the word of God to every mountain and obstacle that is in front of the people of God that are in this room today. Let the mountain be removed and cast into yonder sea, and let it not return as a hindrance to God's people again in the name of Jesus. Now, what about you? What would you like to see changed in your life or in the life of your children or your loved ones? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you as I invite your people to release the word of God for themselves, that you will hear from heaven. The Bible says that the word of God will not return void, but it will accomplish its purpose. Now that word is in your mouth. It's not in my mouth only. It's not in the mouth only of some prophet or somebody that makes like they are something that you are not. No, we all have access to this same grace. It's what Romans tells us. We have access to this same grace. We all have boldness to the throne of grace and the throne of mercy. So now, in Jesus' name, I am going to, you know, invite people to begin to declare. I'm going to turn this room in the next few minutes to an old-fashioned prayer meeting where you declare stuff for yourself. You know, we're not going to take a back seat and let the devil get any advantage, even this year. You know, right away, we're coming out against him with a force of spiritual arms. Hallelujah. The word of God, the power to create the change. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen.